It's the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. For the rest of the program, we're going to be talking about a field of science called quantum mechanics. That is the study of how matter and light behave at incredibly small scale, at the level of atomic and subatomic particles. As a field, quantum science is only about a century old, but its discoveries have enabled modern technology like lasers, GPS, and semiconductors. And that's before we even get to quantum computing, which some think could represent another major leap forward. Because of that and more, the United Nations has declared the next year will be the International Year of Quantum Science and Technology, IYQ for short. Here's Ghana's representative to the UN.
The proclamation of 2025 as the International Year of Quantum Science and Technology will help in the wider dissemination and appreciation of this critical area of science and technology, and the mobilization of the support of the peoples of our world for its further contribution in addressing the prevailing challenges of our time.
A big part of that effort of helping people understand just what quantum science is and the role it plays in our lives, and that is where Smitha Viswasvara comes in. She's a condensed matter physics professor in the Granger College of Engineering at the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign. She's also on the steering committee for the IYQ, and she's one of the minds behind a theater piece about this science called Quantum Voyages. Smitha, welcome to the 21st Show. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you so much, Brian. I'm so thrilled to be here.
And listeners, this is the first in an occasional series of conversations we are planning on the many roles of quantum science in our lives, especially here in Illinois. You can join us today at 800-222-9455. All right. I gave a very rudimentary explanation of quantum science. Maybe you could explain it in a little more detail, though, as I sometimes say, I would ask you to do so as though I was a smart 13-year-old you're talking to.
Those 13-year-olds are the hardest ones, I think. I have one. meaning they're wonderful and they're so curious, and it's challenging to explain this wonderful revolutionary field. But just to give you a really sweeping view of how quantum physics emerged and changed the face of reality, I mean, our understanding of reality and the way it changed the face of current technology, it really began in the 1900s when people were trying to understand the nature of radiation from stars, black body radiation, it's called by us physicists. It's a sort of perfect radiator of light. And as you mentioned, quantum physics really does get to the heart of light and matter. Until then, it was thought light was envisioned as a wave, radio waves, for example, the ones that are being transmitted from here. And soon it became apparent that one needed also an alternate description. So Planck seeded the notion of the quantum when he said that the radiation from these glowing objects really comes in little packets or quanta, so to speak. Einstein took it a step further and said that actually light may in fact have an identity as a particle or a photon. And so the photoelectric effect, which is now the basis behind modern solar panels, that came into play. And really, Brian, from the early 1900s, if you look at the progression of ideas and, you know, sort of revolutionary ways of looking at the world ensued in this quantum realm. Shortly thereafter, once it was understood that light could behave as a wave or a particle, there was this crazy proposal by this Duke de Broglie who said, well, maybe we too can act not only as particles, baseballs, for example, but maybe we ourselves have a dual nature, and so maybe we can behave as waves. We can't go through two doors at once and interfere the way two water waves do. But if you look at electrons at the sort of really microscopic level, they can do that. And so if you look at the modern day understanding of atoms and the orbitals, it's really this wave description. Soon after, people started probing the nucleus and the way that could be broken asunder. And that was cataclysmic in the way it gave rise to nuclear power harnessed here on Earth, not only alternate energy, but sort of the deadliest weapons.
It's everything. It sounds like everything in our lives comes from the quantum realm.
Everything. Yes. And so very, very briefly, this thing that you mentioned with quantum computing, semiconductor technology, MRI, that's another big one.
All right. Well, let me ask you to pause. We're on a fixed clock on our program, so we'll come back and we will talk about some of the practical ways we see quantum in our lives, and maybe we'll get a little more philosophical about it as we go on. We are speaking with Smitha Vishveshvara, who is a physics professor at the University of Illinois. More to come after a short break. This is the 21st Show. Stay with us. This is the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey, and we are talking about quantum science, a field that in the past century has had a profound effect on the way we live our lives. Even now, we're seeing major advancements in fields like computing. And next year has been designated by the UN the International Year of Quantum Science and Technology. We're talking about this with Smitha Vishveshvara, a condensed matter physics professor in the Granger College of Engineering at the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign. She's on the steering committee for the IYQ. And over the weekend, she had a commentary published in the Chicago Tribune. It's called What Connects Us in This Polarizing Moment Through Space and Time and Humanity. We'll talk about that a little later. If you want to join us today, the number is 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. All right. Can you tell me a little bit about the work you do when it comes to quantum?
Yes. So condensed matter physics really looks at the way individuals coming together act as a collective whole. It sounds very, it's almost societal. But you can think of, for example, water molecules coming together and forming a fluid. And for me, you put quantum physics into the mix and you really see these extraordinary states of matter like superconductors or superfluids emerge. And so my research really probes this kind of physics. And it's fascinating, everything from sort of quantum behavior on a macroscopic scale, so then applied to things like quantum bits and the like, but we're studying the fundamentals. Or I think one of the coolest, literally the coolest, it's ultra cold, it's at nanokelvin, one of the coolest things that we all get to study is something called a quantum condensate. And I'm really excited right now because I'm a theorist, so pencil and paper, that's my bread and butter. We work very closely with experimentalists, and right now we are collaborating on studying these condensates in microgravity aboard the International Space Station. So this is kind of some of the wonderful physics that we get to do. And here in Urbana-Champaign, there's quite a big legacy of condensed matter physics, everything from Bardeen, there's the Bardeen Quad on the engineering, it's called the Bardeen Quad, who discovered some of the secrets of superconductivity, all the way from there to some of our youngest researchers, the students we get to work with. It's really a beautiful collective phenomenon in and of itself, this whole research that we do.
So one of the aspects, one of the reasons we're talking is that there is this International Year of Quantum. Why, in your view, is it important for people to understand this science and not just the fact that when they press the button on a laser pointer, it works, right? Or when they turn on a solar-powered device, it just works. Yeah. What is the value in going deeper?
Tremendous value, I'd say. So first off, the way the IYQ or the Quantum Year is offered, it's really a celebration, and it's a celebration for one and all. So in fact, for example, in the International Year of Light, there were 10,000 activities. I really feel like dissolving the barrier towards science has tremendous worth. And, you know, then you don't, you kind of really know how to think these things through. So for example, if you look at solar panels, it's really coming from the photoelectric effect, or people kind of know about this quantum computing, but really, what is it? And it's the same principle as the MRI machine. A lot of it, you have these little magnets in your, well, H2O, the way that responds to magnetic fields, what is the dance of the protons within your body that allows for the creation of these images of the brain and the like. So the more you understand, or if you're looking at climate change, for example, why is that a real thing? And yes, it is a real thing. But to understand, really, you're looking at the veneer, the surface of the Earth. And I told you a little bit about black body radiation, for example, this glow. The Earth is nearly a perfect glowing being, but the atmosphere is what provides an insulating layer that makes it livable for us. And it's so fragile. And really, it's understanding the science, and quantum is very related, that you can see why it's so important to preserve the veneer at the right conditions. So there's so much, everything from current technology to even ethics. So IYQ, for example, there's a section that looks at the ethics behind decisions we make, youngsters, women in quantum science. There's so much going on here where it's really clear that we need this sort of collaborative effort to just have a more aware public making sort really well thought out decisions, and especially in this day and age when there's things like AI and so many other issues at hand. So this is, and this is a celebration. It's fun, and it's also fundamental to who we are. And the deeper you understand that, I think the deeper there's this sense of, I would say, what makes us human? What might bring us joy? What is sacred?
You know, I'm reminded as just listening to you of one of my heroes is Carl Sagan, and he wrote this book called The Demon Haunted World. The subtitle was Science as a Candle in the Dark.
Yes.
And when you think of the understanding or the lack of understanding of science and the moment of fear we have now, this fear is spreading to vaccines, and I wonder how that relates to the work you're trying to do.
Well, there's many ways in which it does relate. And I told you about how stars are these glowing beings. And, you know, you mentioned this article that came out in over the weekend. For me, it was really like that. I mean, the first half of this today's show, we looked at world affairs and sort of the heartbreaking things that are going on. And one of the things to realize is really not only stars, we too are these perfect radiant beings. It's astounding that if you look at the radiation pattern that a star emits, and those are visible, we see stars that are tinged blue or red, and that depends only on their temperature, the pattern of radiation. We ourselves, as you might see if you were to look at an infrared camera, we're glowing. We're glowing in the very same way. And, you know, to me, that candle in the dark that you mentioned, it's really like that. Just the way you have these stars in the galaxy, billions of them interconnected. Here we are on the surface of the Earth, and there's a unity there. We are all radiating in the same manner. And I feel like for me, just sharing that gives that sort of solace and unity, just knowing that we ourselves are a billion glowing candles on the surface of this Earth.
I love that. I believe it was the great philosopher Yoda who said to Luke Skywalker, luminous beings we are, not this crude matter.
Indeed. And you know, those laser sabers, quantum again. Yeah. But actually, one thing to say about Yoda also, I really think we also have Yodas in our life around us, these fountainheads of wisdom. We have it in science. I think we have it in every single discipline. And there's something to say about, in this very busy moment, to take silence and listen to the Yodas in our lives.
So maybe the direction this conversation has taken, because of that, it will not surprise listeners that you are the author of a theater piece about quantum science. Tell us about that.
So myself and a wonderful talented theater maker, Latrell Bright. She directs a lot of shows here at Cranert Center, Station Theater. It's a long story as to how we came together in a sort of spark and at the Cranert Center for Performing Arts. And for me, stories have always been big in my life. My father was a black hole physicist and also a planetarium director who'd script his own shows. My grandpa was a playwright, so it's really in my blood. And maybe about 10 years ago, you know, there was this ache to bring writing also into my daily life, into my career as a physicist, and also beyond, to just make science not only just research, which is already extraordinary, but really a sort of journey. And so in my show I had this script, quantum something like Cosmic Journeys, Quantum Voyages, and I would go from Loomis lab, where this is where we're based in physics, just hop over to the Cranert Center for Performing Arts, and I just dream of this wonderful world. That 13-year-old of mine back then was a little kid who was taking part in the Nutcracker, and I thought, why not this sort of epic journey, like Ovid's Metamorphoses, or like the Nutcracker, where you have a figure that is taking voyagers through different worlds. And so this was the premise for Quantum Voyages. And so it was really Sapienza, the spirit of wisdom, taking Terra and Akash through these different quantum realms. It was just a notion in my head, but it was really meeting Latrell Bright when it just took life, just sprung to life. And so it's really been my happy space. We went from devising and scripting the whole thing to so it is an adventure tale. The voyagers go through the land of light, then these condensates, they go to the coldest spaces in the universe, then there's the electrons in your metal, they form what's called a Fermi sea, so they're battling the raging Fermi sea. All this happens. And it was really such a wonderful process, Latrell and me. So then that's when Latrell's sort of incredible role as a deviser of theater came in. And so we created the script together. And it's gone. The first one was for Tony Leggett, my mentor. It was his 80th. So the first iteration was, I think it was in 2018. And it's evolved a lot since. And Latrell has this amazing way of workshopping, getting the performers together. And when we're in this room, we're really making something completely different, a confluence of art and science together. And so now in its next iteration, upcoming in 2025, in fact, for the International Year of the Quantum, it'll have sort of full-fledged professional media design. Stephen Taylor, our other partner in the art science realm, he is a music composer, so there'll be new music. And we will literally be taking it to new heights with a circus collaborator of mine. So that's happening both at Cranert and for a special event in Anaheim that is related to the American Physical Society.
Amazing. Well, there's so much we didn't get to talk about. Unfortunately, we are out of time. I hope we can have you back, not least of which to talk maybe more about Quantum Voyages, but also you have co-authored a work with your late father. It's called Two Revolutions, Einstein's Relativity in Quantum Physics. That book is set to come out in February. Professor Smitha Visveshvara, thank you so much for being with us today on the 21st Show. What a pleasure.
Thank you so much. An absolute delight to be with you all.
That is all the time we have for our show today. Coming up tomorrow, our Friday Weeks in Review, we will continue our coverage on the killing of Sonya Massie and also just talk about stories making headlines in Macomb and Galesburg, including a new president for Western Illinois University. In our political roundtable, we will talk about Trump's border czar and his remarks in Chicago on plans to start mass deportations there. We'll hear how Illinois immigrant communities are preparing for the incoming administration. Plus, a return visit from the TikTok historian Sherman Dilla Thomas. He has a new YouTube program called You Don't Know Shy. We're going to talk with him about that. That's all coming up tomorrow on The 21st Show, which is a production of Illinois Public Media. We are produced by Anna Casey, Christine Hatfield, and Jose Zepeda. Our digital producer is Colson Khan. Technical direction and engineering from Jason Croft and Steve Mork. Reginald Hardwick's our news director. You can find us on YouTube by searching for Illinois Public Media or just look us up wherever you get your podcasts. That's it for us today. I'm Brian Mackey. Thank you for listening. We'll talk with you again tomorrow.